This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacy and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio, just like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's byheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Stacy with a very special What We're Cooking and Eating Now episode. Megan is on spring break right now, and instead of pausing, we decided to ask a very special guest to join me today. I am thrilled and excited and overjoyed to welcome Food Network star, cookbook author, famed meal planning for everyone contributor, and all-around fabulous person, Artie Sequeira. Artie, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so honored to be asked.
I'm so excited to hear what you're cooking.
In my mind, there was a short list of people that could fill this seat.
Yes,
so
very short.
I'm happy to be here.
Very short, and you're the one, the chosen one.
Thank you.
All right, before we get a peek into what you've been cooking in your kitchen this week, a quick reminder to everyone listening. In this series, we each share three meals that we've recently cooked for our own families. Whenever there's a recipe link we can share, we add it to a document that lives in our free community. Members always have access to that document and can literally use it to turn our tried and true meals into your meal plan. It's basically a big meal planning crib sheet. Joining our free community is super easy. You sign up with your email, which we never share with anyone, and that is it. Find the link to join at didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community. And one more little bit of housekeeping. If you're listening to this episode in real time, you have, count them, 3 days to take advantage of a big sale that we're having on our supporting membership. The code JUICY, as in a juicy peach, I don't know, juicy, Megan came up with that one, gives you 25% off for the whole year, whether you pay monthly or buy an annual membership. When you join that supporting membership, you get access to both the free community plus 2 bonus episodes every single month and an ad-free stream of every single episode of Didn't I Just Feed You? It is a great deal. Check it out. You can join either the free community or our supporting membership again at didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community. And with that, we are done with the housekeeping. And Artie, I cannot wait to hear what you've been cooking in your house this week.
Well, it's been an interesting week because the stomach flu ran through our house.
Oh, and so delicious.
Food was a touchy subject for a minute. I mean, literally, my husband walked into the bedroom where I was just like in bed being a sloth. He was like, would you like some rice? And I was like, don't even say rice.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's horrible. It's the worst. I do feel detoxified, I suppose.
Weirdly, yeah. There really is that feeling after a stomach virus.
So one thing I made that was not a success, and I feel like we need to talk about these things.
We do.
Is, you know, I'm going back to India in a month.
That's so
exciting.
To
visit my parents and my sister, and I'm taking my kids with me for the first time. It's a big deal. So I'm sort of getting homesick ahead of being there.
Yes,
does that make sense?
It does, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So I tried to recreate. We were at H Mart and they had these teeny tiny green mangoes. And when I was growing up, my favorite fish curry that we would have every Friday, we'd have a fish curry because we were Catholic. And it was like a white fish, sort of like cod, mm-hmm. with these slices of sour green mango in there. And oh my, I mean, I'm salivating thinking about it. So I did try to recreate it based on the recipe that my mom wrote down. It did not satisfy.
Okay, wait, I have so many questions. First of all, have you this before or tried?
No.
Okay, no. So first time you have your mom's recipe that she jotted down.
Yes.
If she's anything like my grandmother, my mom didn't cook. If she's anything like my grandmother, it's like very casually written.
Well, you know, she's gotten better because she's watched me have to learn how to write recipes correctly. And the last time that I went to India, I realized that one tablespoon for me is not, it's for her, it's whatever tablespoon she can find. Right? It's the kitchen tablespoon.
Yes.
And so, you know, when she said 4 tablespoons of coconut oil, I was like, that doesn't seem like a lot. And this is the miracle, I think, of the age we live in, is that the same thing happened when I tried to make a chicken curry of hers. And that I told her that it didn't work. And then that weekend, they made it, my sister and her. And my sister took videos and sent them to me. And so I looked at it and I was like, that's not 4 tablespoons of oil, Mom.
Yeah.
She's like,
yeah. She's like, it is in my house.
Yeah. So in defense of my mom, she does write them pretty well, to the point where, you know, sort of in non-American recipes are quite often written in weight, which is very helpful. So when she says 100 grams of onion, I know she means 100 grams of onion, which is very helpful because Indian onions are very different from American onions.
Oh, that's interesting.
Fascinating. Like an Indian onion looks like a little red onion, but it fits in the palm of your hand.
Is it sweeter, sharper, stronger?
It's more like a shallot. So it's very, okay, you know, you get a very different frying texture, flavor, you know, what it does in a curry as it melts. It's just completely different. So she did write it very well. Those green mangoes were Vietnamese green mangoes. They're just different. You know what I mean? They were very young. They barely had a stone in them. And one of my sort of core memories was sucking on the stone. And it didn't have a stone in there. And I was so disappointed. So I just don't think they were sour enough or had enough heft, really. And then, you know, I try not to make things too spicy, just sort of try and entice my kids. My husband has ulcerative colitis. He can't do a lot of heat. So I have to make a lot of adjustments to a recipe that I'm also trying for the first time. So it's okay. You know, I wanted to make sure I mentioned that though, because A, I think this happens to a lot of people
all the time.
And B, I think this is the particular plight of people who are not growing up close to their family and trying to recreate those recipes and trying to do it not only for their own palates, but for their children, for their families. And trying to push that forward, you know, and it can feel very frustrating and very discouraging. I definitely was like, why did I even bother? But I have to just keep reminding myself that I am learning intricacies through the failures here.
Yeah.
And even like grinding the masala fine enough, using enough oil, using more mango if it isn't sour enough, all those things, those are lessons I wouldn't know if it had worked out.
It's so interesting, too, because what you're bringing up for me is, you know, there are certain cuisines that have an American version that's been established for a longer period of time. Chinese-American food comes to mind.
Yeah.
And you understand how these cuisines change and become their own thing and why it's important to say this is American Chinese food. Not because we're trying to, you know, qualify in any way that is supposed to communicate value, as much as it really does over the generations become something different. The onions here are different. They fry up different. The access to ingredients we have are different. It evolves. And this is how it evolves both as a cuisine in different places around the world and also how it evolves in our own homes. You know, you're using your mother's recipes. I have always used my grandmother's Greek recipes. Same exact problem. If I don't nail her Christmas cookies this coming year, I'm going to explode because she didn't take detailed notes like your mom. And on top of it, she measured everything. When she said a cup, she literally meant her teacup.
Yes.
And we don't have her teacup anymore. And I can't catch her on video, you know, so I'm constantly experimenting and trying to figure it out. So it is discouraging sometimes. I agree with you. But it's such a worthwhile endeavor. And it's just so interesting about how food changes
Well, and I think it's a good reminder to ourselves. One of the things that I came out with, I think 2 years ago, was a recipe journal. Mm-hmm. And it's called My Family Recipe Journal. And it's because my mom has her mom's recipe journal because her mother passed away when she was quite young. And now she and all her sisters have their recipe journals. And I started keeping a recipe journal when I was 10.
Amazing.
And I've had it, you know, all these years, and you can see my handwriting change over the years. And even the sorts of recipes I was into changed over the years. And so I think it's so important to write those things down, because eventually someone's going to want to make that thing that I always made. Now, I'm kind of lucky because that's kind of what I do for a living. But if it isn't, you have to, you know, I think having a place to write it down and go, this is an heirloom. This is something, it's not Googleable.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're so used to being able to find everything online. Just value what you've come up with, value what you have spent all those failures getting to, and write it down for the people that care about you.
Yeah. And who knows what's going to really resonate with your kids. That quick dinner that you make every single week and you're so tired of and you're like, oh, this is boring, might be the thing that your kids remember so fondly. And one day when you're not around or when you're living far apart, they're going to be like, oh, remember those spaghetti and meatballs you used to make? And you'll feel like, yeah, that was so boring. I made it every single week. And actually, they want the recipe. They want to make it. It brings a good feeling. But brass tacks, fish curry has in it, I know it was a bust, but fish, the mango, vegetables. Did you make a vegetable on the side? Is there a vegetable in the curry?
No, there's no vegetable in the curry. So the curries that I grew up with, if it was a meat or fish curry, didn't have anything else in it.
That's it.
Except for maybe sometimes potatoes, chicken and potatoes, meat and potatoes. Fish tended to be on its own. And then you'd have a vegetable on the side. I just did sliced cucumbers and called it a day.
Beautiful.
And some rice.
Love it. Did the kids eat it?
My oldest did try it. I did also have the backup spaghetti and meatballs, ironically, from the night before. My youngest does not eat fish. Yeah, so that was a bust for her. But my husband had it, and he had the leftovers. I didn't touch it. So it went okay, It's just too emotional for me. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm ashamed to the, you know, to my family. I can't touch it. And he's like, it's fine
to
me.
He's like, I like it. I love that. I love that. Okay, what else?
So speaking of the thing that I make every week, it's always keema. Keema is just ground beef with a bunch of spices and peas and tomatoes. It's, I suppose, what we would call a dry curry. Mm-hmm. So curry just means gravy. So when we say a dry curry, kind of is an oxymoron, I suppose. But it's just one of those things that, you know, sometimes my mom would put potatoes in it. I've done butternut squash in there, little cubes in there. It's just one of those things that's always on in my back pocket. And my kids love it. We eat it with, when I was growing up, we'd eat it with chapatis these days. If I have the time, I'll make them. If not, it's whole wheat tortillas, which are very, very similar. Yeah. That's a recipe that's available. It's in my new cookbook. It's on the Food Network website. We'll have all kinds of links for you, but it's so easy. It has a few spices in it, but I guarantee that you probably have a bunch of them on hand. You know, turmeric and paprika and cumin.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I need to pull this into my repertoire. My older son, people, longtime listeners know, he just loves meat. The other day, he accidentally ate vegetarian all day. And at the end of the day, he was like, oh, that's the worst. I was like, what do you mean? Like, you actually enjoyed your food. It just happened accidentally. He's like, yeah, like tomorrow, will you make some beef? And he was like, that grilled cheese you made me was good, but like, can we put beef in it? I was like, so you want a cheeseburger? This sounds like a great back pocket meal for me. I'm excited to try it.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, you finish it with a little vinegar, which is my mom's little trick. And I just think that makes it all the difference.
And the kids love it. The husband loves it.
They love it. Everybody loves it. Everybody's happy. And that is one of those, when you talk about the recipe that my kids will want when they leave home, that's it.
All right. One more thing that you cooked.
It's funny that I'm on here because I don't meal prep that often. I'm not the best at it. I think because I travel so often and every week is so different.
Yeah.
But this month I'm here. So I roasted off some sweet potatoes on Sunday, and I like to roast them at like 250.
Oh.
For like an hour and a half. They turn into custard.
Fancy. Yes.
And I learned it from, I was already, you know, the oven was already on, so it wasn't a big deal. I did some beets. I did, you know, did the sweet potatoes. And so I had them in the fridge, and they kind of ooze out caramel when you do that. And then have you tried the Heyday canning beans?
I have one of them. I think the chickpeas. Yes. I can't remember how they're flavored.
Yes. So that's what I had, the curried chickpeas, which, you know, I'm going to look sideways at anything that says curried. They were delicious. They have a great tang to them, beautiful spicing. And that was dinner. My husband did it, actually, because I wasn't feeling great. We ladled those chickpeas right over the top. I had slices of avocado, lots of lime and cilantro. And that was dinner. And everybody polished it off. Yes. It was easy. I felt good about it. It was good for everybody. It was great. My favorite.
And when you prep potatoes ahead like that, all you're doing is rewarming them and warming the beans and then like cutting up some cilantro. You're reminding me that I used to make a sweet potato chickpea. I used to saute chickpeas and sausage because the meat loving kid and do something similar. I used to put lime and some plain yogurt and cilantro and just top roasted sweet potatoes. Such a good one.
So good.
That sounds like a good week. And it sounds like everybody, for the most part, ate. The fish curry was a little bit of a bust, but, you know, there's always a bust in a week.
But I knew, you know, it's okay. It was a roll of the dice and it was worth it.
I love it.
ButcherBox is our secret to better back pocket meals on the fly during busy seasons like spring. They make it easy to choose a box of our family's favorite proteins that get delivered straight to our door. With the freezer stocked with 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, there's no running to the store for last-minute dinner ingredients. Plus, with free ground beef for life, we know that when meetings or soccer practice run late, we always have a reliable family favorite on hand for a quick dinner with ButcherBox's high-quality meats and a few pantry staples. That's right. ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Visit butcherbox.com/DIJFY and use code DIJFY to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/DIJFY and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore, but I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year, too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part, all Quince items from silk to 14 karat gold are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere, and while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone. Even our last-minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type a response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother, too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it. They still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
I, Zeus, King of the Gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus wherever you get your podcasts.
My week...
What did you do?
What did I do? My week has been convenience. So we're about to go on spring break. It's going to be 2 weeks away and a lot of traveling around because we're doing college tour visits, which is... bananas that I'm at that point.
Wow.
So we're going to Seattle. We're going to Northern California, Southern California. Like, we're going to be moving around. And then my husband came home at the end of last week and was like, so it turns out that for work, I have to travel abroad from Tuesday to Friday. My best friend's 50th birthday party, shout out to Rebecca, is on Saturday, and then we leave on Sunday for 2 weeks. So it's like between Megan being on spring break and me about to travel and him gone, it's been like I'm in survival mode. So fine, great, no problem. Came across, and I wish I could find the link, but it turns out there are a million recipes online. But I saw an Instagram photo. I don't even think they shared the recipe for sheet pan pierogies with cabbage and kielbasa.
Yum.
And I was like, oh, that's easy. How come I never thought of that? And my kids always ask for pierogies, but I don't know. I just never buy them. It's not a normal part of my repertoire. So just literally threw everything onto a sheet pan. Seasoned the cabbage with a little bit of olive oil and seasoned salts. Tossed the pierogies with some melted butter and sliced the kielbasa, put it all on a sheet pan. It cooked. I pulled out sour cream, and that was that. It was filling.
Question.
Yes, go ahead.
I am so into this idea because these are all flavors I don't play around with enough. So with the cabbage, I'm assuming it was green.
It was green.
Because basically a supermarket is paying you to buy green cabbage.
Yes.
So... I mean, really, they're like, please take it, please. Did you slice it up thin? Did you cut it into wedges?
Yeah, great question. So I used half of a head, which meant that for the rest of the week, I did include cabbage in my meal plan.
Yeah.
Like I had like something Mexican and I made a quick slaw and I can't remember. Like I think I made a salad with cabbage another night. But I cut it in half. I core it. And then I turn it so that the pattern of the cabbage is perpendicular to my knife so that as I cut it, it just turns into thin shreds. Like I don't even need to like bust out my mandolin or do anything to get thin shreds. Yep. And you don't have to make it super thin because then when it roasts, it'll just completely disappear, you know, like a quarter of an inch. And then it's going to kind of melt in the oven.
I love that.
I love cabbage.
Me too.
I think cabbage is really underrated. And this is the kind of meal that you can flavor any which way. I went super simple. You could toss everything and whisk together mustard, maple syrup, and a little bit of olive oil and pour that on top. It goes great with all those flavors. In fact, when I was looking for recipes to share as a reference point, there was one, there's a recipe from the Pioneer Woman I'll share. It's just straightforward, but I do think she uses mustard, actually. And then on the New York Times, I found sheet pan pierogies with Brussels sprouts and kimchi, which is very similar. And then I thought, oh, my kids would love that. And then also to throw some bacon on that, too. My kids would be very, very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love that. You could also do a little caraway seed on
yes,
the too.
Totally. Cumin. I mean, there's just a lot. There are a lot of different ways you can go. So many cuisines use cabbage and pierogies. I buy the potato ones. So they're kind of just this like blank dumpling canvas.
I'm making it for dinner. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, it's really easy. Yeah. And then you can use any kind of sausage or bacon if kielbasa, you know, doesn't float your boat. So that was a win. They ate everything.
I love it.
Another thing I made, kind of boring because I think this was mentioned in the last What We Are Cooking and Eating Now or the one before that, but my kids just really like Japanese curry. So I buy golden curry cubes.
So good.
Yeah.
I always have them.
Always. Always. I get mild. I prefer medium myself, but the kids prefer mild. This time I just made it with chicken and sweet potato. Literally, that's it.
Delicious.
Oh, and a lot of onion. A whole lot of onion.
Yeah.
And I think I was on a conference call as I was cooking. So it was, I didn't even brown everything and do it in steps. I literally like heated oil, added onions, added the sweet potato and the chicken at the same time. So I actually cut the sweet potato pretty small so it would cook quickly. And then the cubes and liquid, and that was that.
I love that.
And also, flying by the seat of my pants, I mentioned spaghetti and meatballs because my older kid has been on a little bit of a, I don't know, like a complaint bus. Is there such a thing? He literally, I told this story recently, was sitting around, noticed my first cookbook on the shelf, pulled it out, flipped through it, and was like, how come you don't cook delicious stuff like this for us anymore?
Oh, I hate that.
I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I guess you only bother when you're writing cookbooks. I was like, that's absolutely crazy. But okay, what do you want? So he like went through, he picked all the things that had meat and he was like making our meal plan for a while. Like there were a couple weeks there where everything was his request for my cookbooks. He sort of stopped paying attention, but did mention spaghetti and meatballs. And I did a quick shortcut that I was really sure would not come out great. So the backstory on this, and actually it does relate to my first cookbook, is that Jenny, our beloved longtime nanny who we're still in touch with, used to make the boys meatballs and literally would take ground turkey, put it in a bowl with a ton of garlic powder, onion powder, chopped onion when she felt like it, and a whole bunch of ketchup.
Oh.
And I remember being like, this is interesting, but, you know, whatever. Great. Like, do your thing, Jenny. The kids love it to this day. Jenny will come to visit us. Jenny moved back home to Jamaica recently. And, like, when she comes to visit us, like, we haven't seen her in 6 months. Like, we're just there to love her and hug her and catch up. And the boys will literally be like, can you cook meatballs? I'm like, first of all, no, she can't. She always does anyway. They love her meatballs so much. So I was like, you know, I'm going to buy meatball mix at the market. Mm. And I'm going to use onion powder and garlic powder. I'm not going to chop onion, which is a little bit of a challenge for me because I like really want to add some onion in there. And then I had, do you ever use the Durrott frozen garlic cubes?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love those. And I must have purchased frozen basil at one point, and it's been just like sitting in my freezer because it's not the kind of thing I would normally grab.
Yes.
So I grabbed some of the frozen garlic. I grabbed two of the basil cubes. I put it in there. I let them thaw and I mixed everything up. And then I was like, I don't have breadcrumbs or anything. I found half a bag of shredded mozzarella, pre-shredded mozzarella. I was like, okay, I'm adding it in there. I'm going to have that bind. Rolled it up, cooked the meatballs in a jar of Rao's sauce, served it over pasta. And I can't even tell you how many meatball recipes I've developed that I've put time and care and love and thought into. And the boys were like, oh my gosh, these are delicious. Like, what are these meatballs? I was like, of course.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Of course.
That is so funny.
Of course.
I wonder why that is. Now I want to try this.
Weird shortcut meatballs.
Yeah, because of course I made like, you know, the from scratch meatballs because my daughter did the same thing. How come we haven't had spaghetti and meatballs in a while? And I was like, because they're kind of a pain.
Yeah. Totally.
And so, you know, so I did the proper thing. I put, you know, I did pecorino because it's sheep's milk cheese as opposed to Parmesan because my family can't do cow milk very well. Tons of parsley. I just like went to town, did the whole thing. And they were like, okay.
Yeah. It's so annoying.
it's so annoying.
But it's annoying for us because this is our work. But I share it because I think, you guys, just do the thing. Just, it doesn't have to be a perfect meatball. I didn't have any fresh onion or garlic. I didn't have any breadcrumbs. There was no egg in there. There was no, I didn't even brown them.
Yeah.
I literally took little meatballs and plopped them in some like simmering jarred sauce.
I actually think that that's how I'm going to do it because I browned mine because because of my husband. My husband has a bunch of things that he can't eat, one of them being nightshades, right? So I was like, well, I can't cook them in the sauce. I did the same thing, a jar of Rao's. Yeah. So I browned them all and then, you know, kept some aside for him. But I was looking at Alice Guanciale's cookbook and she has the Goodfellas meatballs versus the Godfather meatballs. And I can't remember which is which, but one of them is browned and then in the sauce and the other is cooked in the sauce only. And I think there's something about those dried spices being able to permeate the meat without giving off that fresh flavor.
Who wants that?
And without giving off too much moisture, maybe. I don't know. I think there's something about a meatball maybe that needs to taste like it's been cooking for a long time. And sometimes those dried spices work better.
I agree.
Mozzarella cheese, I think, makes it ooey, gooey, a little, you know.
And I think it helped retain some moisture. I do think the fact that I use meatball mix instead of just beef, which is what I normally would do. And my kids like a really tender meatball. I love a sear because I love that like crunchy exterior and then a tender inside. But it's true that when you just boil the meatball or cook the meatball in the sauce, you get this very tender fall apart meatball. Yeah. And going back to Jenny, it's the way Jenny cooked the turkey meatballs with the ketchup that the kids love.
I mean, that's the thing, right? With a bunch of these, I mean, every recipe that we talk about, especially I remember when I started off on Food Network and I was making Indian recipes, I had a lot of people that were cheering for me. And then I had, you know, Indian people very particular about their food, man. And so there were a lot of my mummy didn't make it this way comments. And I was like, well, my mummy did. Yes. So you can go talk to her and you can take it up with her because she's a feisty one. And we can have sort of textbook ways that things are supposed to be better. But if you have a memory attached to that, I mean, that's better than seasoning it perfectly and julienning your vegetables. I mean, a memory is the most powerful seasoning there is.
Oh, I love that so much, Artie. You're the best.
Ah, thank you. This was so good. You're I'm really excited to try this sheep pan pierogi, man.
Yeah, right? Do it.
Especially when you said it's a potato one, I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, yeah.
So
it's
good.
Just like stuffed with starch.
It is. My kids love it so much.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Artie, thank you so much for joining me today. It is always such a treat to hear what other people are cooking for their families. Before we sign off, please tell everyone where they can follow you if they don't already. Hopefully they all do already. And also, where to buy your gorgeous new cookbook, because you mentioned a recipe from there, and I love it so much. It's called Unwind, a devotional cookbook for the harried and hungry.
Yes. So, okay, so you can find me on Instagram. If you put in AARTI, I should be the number one Artie over there.
Yeah, you better be.
I've been trying to get the @Artie Instagram handle. So if anybody's listening over there, please help me out because someone is sitting on it and they have zero followers, zero posts. They're just sitting on it. It's very frustrating. So my cookbook, you can get it on Amazon. Just type it in. You can get it at Dayspring. The whole thing was really aimed at people like me who get to that threshold, that dinner cooking hour. And after having a full day of meetings and grocery shopping and all of that, just sort of feel like making dinner feels like an insult.
Yeah.
And so for me, the meal prepping and the meal planning is so helpful. But for me, I needed to change my heart. And so for me to walk into that kitchen and go, this is a time that I could have sacred connection and just transform this mundane task into something really transformative. has changed everything for me. So that's what the book's all about.
I love it so much. And I have to tell you that, you know, there are all different ways that people can talk about this. Yeah. We talk about it in terms of food joy and setting yourself up, but like you couldn't be more right that everybody feels overwhelmed by this task of feeding their family at some point through some seasons, yeah. Some people longer than others, more seasons than others. But at the end of the day, if this is something that we have to do, we all love food. We all love eating. It is a critical point of connection. So tapping into that mindset as we go about this task that we have to do really changes the game. And you're just so inspirational. And plus, your food food is delicious. So that's the bottom line here, always. All right, y'all.
Thank you.
Don't forget that you can access any recipe mentioned in this episode in our free community, where we are also having a big sale on our supporting membership. You can join either one from didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community. And if you decide to take advantage of that supporting membership sale, remember to do so before April 1st and use the code JUICY. Follow us on Instagram, where we are at didn'tijustfeedyou. A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Gatzik. I'm Stacy. Stay sane and well-fed.